Grace to you and peace from God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer. Amen. People of a certain age, I love that phrase. People of a certain age may remember a brash and seemingly egotistical boxer many years ago who just before one of his heavyweight title matches in 1964 proclaimed, "I am the greatest." As you look at film of this then young man over the course of his career, you will see him say that many, many times. And as you watch those films, those of us who were raised with at least a modicum of humility cringe a little bit as he postures, predicts the round in which he will knock out his opponent, taunts and belittles them, crows over lesser boxers bloodied by his powerful fists. We cringe as he plays the media like a cheap fiddle at the state fair. "I am the greatest," he will say again and again to anyone and everyone. The problem was, he was. In 1998, a couple of the major sports networks rated Muhammad Ali as the greatest boxer ever. As remarkable as his claim was, even more remarkable is that his career and his claims were set against the backdrop of incredible racial discrimination in the very communities where he and other boxers were staging their contests. Here was a black man standing up in front of hundreds of white reporters proclaiming his greatness and pounding all comers, while all around the country, people who looked like him were being pounded into the ground by a social and economic system designed to deny the very greatness Muhammad Ali would claim for himself. Few of us, I hope, whatever, have the ego or narcissism to claim that we ourselves are the greatest at anything, much less have the unique ability to back up such a claim. But the claim, "I am the greatest," or wondering who is the greatest, is an ancient and understandable one. In our gospel lesson for today, the disciples, having just heard the great master predict his own suffering and death, are distracted by the bright lights of the crowds clamming around them as they enter different cities. It would be hard, I imagine, to avoid feelings of self-pride or even hubris, where when everywhere you go, people want your attention and lavish praise on you. It's an ancient and understandable issue. We see it these days all around us. We see it with entertainers and politicians, and frankly, even pastors. The problem is you start to believe what people are saying about you. And you might even start telling yourself the same hype. You might, having had your small successes or achieved competence in various and sundry things, begin to actually wonder to yourself, "Am I the greatest?" We find ourselves in these days hungering for recognition, wealth, power, influence, and fame. In fact, in much of society, greatness is associated really with all of those things. And without a great store of influence, power, wealth, and fame, greatness seems to elude us. It's almost as if we are chasing a rainbow, convinced that if we can just get that pot of gold at the end of it, we will finally bring whatever it is that we want in our lives, even when we're not sure what exactly it is that we want. Now, it pays to be careful here, because it's not helpful to look at this text and say, well, I guess, really, if I want to be a Christian person, I should just strive for mediocrity. In the Great Bake Off show in the 8th season, one of the contestants is kind of in danger of leaving the show. And she's talking to Paul Hollywood as he stands with those steely blue eyes and stares at her. And she's concerned. And he says, well, all you have to do is not be the absolute worst. It proved no comfort, it turns out. You see, greatness happens less on the exterior than it does on the interior. True greatness. And I think Jesus' issue with the disciples that day, and I think what Mark is trying to get across to us, is that Jesus has just told them, Jesus, who is probably able to withstand the claim of greatness, has just told them that he will suffer and die on the cross. But the disciples, distracted from their fame, or distracted from their journey, begin a discussion, who among us is the greatest? And so Jesus brings a child in the midst of them. One with no social status, or wealth, or fame. No ability to heal people with a touch or a word. No great theological prowess, or perhaps even a great singing voice or a shiny mic. And Jesus brings that child into their midst. And he says, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Silence. That's the response. That's the response from the disciples who just a few moments ago had wondered who was the greatest among them. Again, it's not that excellence is bad or undesirable or ambition is not particularly good, but as James makes clear in James' really long lesson for today, the issue is that sort of selfish ambition changes us and changes us from the inside out. It's no wonder that in their pursuit of greatness, our politicians, in some cases, have lost sight of what it means to serve the public. It's no wonder that some of our greatest entertainers have lost their way from making beautiful and powerful and life-changing music to become addicts or the greatest consumers on earth. Something about pursuing being the greatest, whether we can back it up or not, changes us from the inside out, and we lose sight of what it means to be human. We lose sight of our kinship with those who are around us, and we loosen the bonds that bind us to one another as humans. In 1996, Muhammad Ali stood, actually hobbled, up to the Olympic flame in Atlanta. There was, for just a second, silence. The great man who had challenged and blustered and bluffed and fought and who had backed up his claim that he was the greatest stood shaking on a platform, barely able to hold on to the Olympic torch as he lit the flame. Some saw a man diminished. What I saw was greatness. A man ill, very, very ill with Parkinson's disease, who could have hid away in his home, hidden away the weakness that had invaded his body and his mind, covered up the shaking and the stumbling and the hobbling, stood instead and brought light. He didn't humiliate himself that day. He humbled himself before all of us. And the Great One became human. It may be for us a powerful lesson that this man who once had been so incredibly powerful seemed almost childlike and humble and beautiful. All of us, including Muhammad Ali, have plenty of things of which we are not proud and which would for sure disqualify us from being the greatest of all. It's not hero worship or a kind of jaundiced view of who this man or we are, but a reminder that our greatness comes not from our fame or our wealth, or our ambition, or our stuff. I think our greatest greatness comes from being beloved by a God who sends His Son to die, that we might know a deeper and fuller and more gracious life. Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Our worship continues this morning with the hymn of the day, Children of the Heavenly Father.